Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy at the network, and we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Judd Garrett, frequent contributor to Real Clear Politics, looking at his latest, including Competing versus Cheating. In the second hour, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and he's got a whole bunch of good ones. Who's the fastest? Biden administration wants text messages, police for vaccine misinformation, and a whole bunch of other good information from Selwyn Duke. Well, L.A. County going crazy again now with the mask and the mask and the mask and do this and do that. And I mentioned yesterday, you know, Mr. Governor Newsom, better get in here because, you know, there is a recall going on. So be very careful, sir, what you're doing, okay? White House medical advisor Dr. Fauci has drawn more criticism after saying children as young as 3 years old should continue to wear the mask to protect against the coronavirus. Asked by MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell about the spread of the Delta variant of the virus and what that means for unvaccinated minors, Fauci said they and their parents should follow federal health advice and its guidelines for safety opening K-12 schools in the fall. Center for Disease Control and Prevention says masks should be worn indoors by all individuals age 2 and older who are not fully vaccinated. Quote, unvaccinated children of a certain age greater than 2 years old should be wearing masks, Fauci said. No doubt about that. That's the way to protect them from getting infected, because if they do, they can spread the infection to someone else. Now, Fauci has routinely advocated for strict health measures throughout the pandemic, but critics have been particularly frustrated with his calls to mask up children who are statistically at a far, far, far smaller risk from getting are growing seriously ill from COVID-19. CDC data shows of the nearly 600,000 deaths attributed to coronavirus since 2020, only 331 out of the 600,000, or about 1 out of every 2,000, occurred among those ages of 0 to 17. I bet you 0's not getting much. Anyway, in addition to the lower risk children face of getting or spreading the virus, studies have shown mask wearing for youngsters can even be harmful for their health, with parents claiming their kids are suffering headaches, etc., etc. Quote, we're going to make low-risk children suffer to protect unvaccinated adults. Come on, we've got to begin caring about the kids, according to Roy Cooper tweeting. Well, House Press Secretary Jen Psaki refused to say the word communism when asked why Cubans are protesting in the streets and fleeing to neighboring counties. Psaki was grilled by Fox News' Peter Doocy and couldn't answer the simple question, quote, do you think the people are leaving Cuba because they don't like communism? Psaki also echoed the message that migrants should not come through processes of trying to come to the border are coming by sea without going through an asylum application process. Although this is different than what was said during the presidential campaign, this is the same message that Vice President Harris said during her trip in Guatemala. Ducey asked, do you think the people are leaving Cuba because they don't like communism? Psaki's answer was, quote, we think people are leaving Cuba or protesting in the streets as well because they're opposed to the oppression, to the mismanagement of the government and the country, and we certainly support their right to protest. We support their efforts to speak out against their treatment in Cuba, and then proceeded to go in detail about the refuse resettlement efforts for Cuba and Haitian nationals in the United States. Ducey's question exposes the suspected hypocrisy of the squad members and members of the administration remaining silent on the failures of communism in Cuba while supporting other human rights protests across the world. Conservatives are accusing the Democrats of not calling out communism by name because of their support for similar ideologies. Senator Marsha Blackburn asked the squad are silent crickets when it comes to supporting the people of Cuba and their push for freedom. So the question is, are they supporting the communist regime? Psaki's refusal to condemn the communist government by name seems to provide evidence in support of many conservative claims. All right. Adam Casalino filed this report. Says during his campaign, Joe Biden promised recovery for America with his Build Back Better slogan, but it seems he wanted to build back, but for only certain Americans. Plenty of people were shocked to learn that Biden wanted to bail out farmers struggling after the pandemic, but only minority farmers. Biden previously wanted to limit loans given to white farmers. On top of that, his rescue plan provided $4 billion to any farmer who isn't white. Now, this launched numerous lawsuits, and in a third ruling, Biden's plans were shot down. From the Daily Wire, a third judge last week struck down the Biden administration's multi-billion-dollar farm aid program that expressly excludes whites. U.S. District Court Judge S. Thomas Anderson of the Western District of Tennessee issued a preliminary injunction to stop the Agriculture Department from delivering race-based loan payments under Section 1005 of the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan. A third judge ruled against Biden's attempt to shell out $4 billion in debt relief to only non-white farmers. Now, Biden only wanted to provide the relief to what he called socially disadvantaged farmers. And the language specifically identified this group as black, American Indian, Alaskan Native, Hispanic or Asian, or Hawaiian Pacific Islander. Because, you know, only non-white farmers were hurt during the pandemic. And apparently all the economic fallout from lockdowns, they don't affect white people. In Biden's brain, which sometimes seems not to be, you know, totally working, white farmers aren't hurt when stores and restaurants and hotels and schools stop buying their products. Now, previously, two other judges ruled against Biden's policy. Federal judge in Florida issued a preliminary injunction. Following that, a federal judge in Wisconsin ordered a temporary halt to the program. And I wonder how many more judges are going to rule against Biden's race-based program. Of course, Biden's administration will try to find ways to push this program, regardless of how many judges rule against it. Until a judge completely shuts it down, Biden will push a policy that favors Americans based on their race. This might even end up before the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, let's see here. The Navy has announced a historical achievement yesterday after a female sailor became the first woman to successfully complete the grueling Naval Special Warfare Training and received her pins. Now, the Navy did not identify the woman, but said she was one of just 17 candidates to make it through the 37-week assessment and become a Special Warfare Combat Craft Crewman. That'll be known as SWCC. Quote, becoming the first woman to graduate from a Naval Special Warfare Training pipeline is an extraordinary accomplishment, and we are incredibly proud of our teammate. That's from Rear Admiral Hugh Howard. He's commander of the U.S. Navy Special Warfare Command. And he said, like her fellow operators, she demonstrates the character, leadership attributes to require her to join our force. So this will be the SWCC, not the SEALS. Okay, right. MSNBC's readout namesake, Joy Reid, this week compared those threats to arrest the Texas House Democrats, you know, who left the state to the Fugitive Slave Act. Quote, I'll have to talk about to you about this threat. Do you have all arrested when you return to Texas and supposedly to track you down like the Fugitive Slave Act is still in force now, Reid said to her guest, Representative Chris Turner. What do you make of those threats? And Turner responded that they're empty threats. But Reid's comparison to the Fugitive Slave Act raised eyebrows. The Fugitive Slave Act was an 1850 law that amended a prior law requiring all escaped slaves to be returned to their owners upon their capture. It forced free states in the North to cooperate with what was widely despised by the abolitionists. The Democratic lawmakers ditched their home state on Monday to prevent a quorum from a special session that would tackle election security bills. They attacked Governor Greg Abbott and Texas Republicans on Tuesday for allegedly trying to suppress the votes of minorities. How long have we heard that? And they've documented their exploits on social media, gloating about fugitive status, boasting of their sacrifice. See, the ones that got on the private jet, you know, with the booze on board and all this, you know, and a whole week off, yes. And they were also singing, "We Shall Overcome." Newsbuster managing editor Curtis Hawk, he joked after hearing on Reid's comparison and her praise of the Texas Democrats. "Ah, yes, Texas Democrats taking Miller Lights on a maskless private jet to Washington, D.C. is just like storming the beaches of Normandy, going building to building in the Battle of Fallujah, and surviving the cold winter of 1777 in Valley Forge." Now, Reid, for some reason, had a controversial comment 3 years ago, got in trouble about homophobic block scandal. Yeah, well, now Reid, who has this long history of spreading conspiracy theories and misinformation, is no stranger to making outlandish comments. Because in 2018, she infamously claimed that homophobic comments on her old blog, The Reid Report, they were not written by her in a story that shocked the media industry. She blamed hackers and claimed to enlist the FBI to investigate this impossible claim. But she became emotional on the air when her story fell apart. Reid admitted it was unlikely she was hacked, but she claimed that she didn't recall making the offensive remarks, for which she apologized anyway. The bizarre saga damaged her reputation, but she has since been promoted from the weekends to weekdays on MSNBC, sort of like she got a raise. Hey, Fox News host Tucker Carlson Wednesday said the whistleblower leaked an email to him, pardon me, revealing the Biden administration is using U.S. military to secretly move illegal aliens all around the country. They're flying out of Laughlin Air Force Base. The plane is actually, well, they're on the plane, so they're flying, yes, okay. The U.S. military is supposed to defend this nation, but they're now secretly aiding and abetting illegal alien invaders. The email written by Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Burroughs was leaked to Tucker Carlson, and it reads, "Over the next few days, weeks, or months, you may see passenger aircraft on our ramp transporting undocumented non-citizens. Please review the attached public affairs guidance on this issue." Burroughs then commanded military men in uniform to hide what was happening on the base from the very Americans that they're sworn to serve. Quote, "Do not take photographs and refrain from posting anything on social media." Yes. Speaking of social media and making sure you can't say what you don't want to say, you'll have to tune in and make sure you hear Selwyn Duke coming up in the second hour. We'll be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Director Steven Soderbergh assembles a great ensemble cast for a moody thriller about petty crooks in 1954 Detroit who get drawn into a series of world-changing mysteries in No Sudden Move. Now playing in theaters and streaming on HBO Max.
The problem is you're not smart enough to know how not smart you are.
Why are you doing this, man?
Because I'm going to get what's mine.
That's Don Cheadle, who along with Benicio Del Toro is at the center of the action, along with the likes of Ray Liotta, Matt Damon, and John Hamm. The plot, which features some conspiratorial maneuvers in the auto industry, is intricate and intriguing. But the real power of this picture comes from the characterizations, which are consistently convincing and complex. It's rated R for rough language, some sex references, and disturbing violence that's plausible, but never over the top. 3 stars for No Sudden Move, a supremely skillful piece of work that leaves you wondering about the deeper dimensions of what you've just seen.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Citizens, no need now to clamor for culinary gustatorial delights. Dreams do come true. Columbo's has triumphantly reopened its golden doors to feed the famished and soothe the savage beast. Bask in the delights of Columbo's succulent steaks, Neptune's superior offerings from the seven seas, Columbo's family Italian specialties, and, of course, their world-famous meatballs. And it's all so affordable. Yes, Columbo's, the ninth wonder of the world, the Southern California pantheon dedicated to unrivaled and unparalleled yum-yum. Columbo's, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mangia bene.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN. Let me tell you about my guest, Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. After 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, he began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, Dolphins, Rams, Cowboys, and several others. Under 12 years as personal executive with the Cowboys. Judd has written 2 screenplays, frequent contributor on the topics of sports and politics to Real Clear Politics. No Wind, that's his first published novel. By the way, he's married and the father of 6 children, and his blog is objectivityistheobjective.com. Hello, Judd. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, I seem to have a little frog in my throat today for some reason, and I wasn't around any ponds, so I'm totally confused. But anyway, I'm going to get through it, I'm sure. I got to tell you something. I love this article you did on competing versus cheating. And you kind of wonder where Judd was going when he first started out with this, and I'm going to tell you it's one of the most interesting things I've read, and a couple of surprises there for me too, Judd. Competing versus cheating. And usually anytime you start out with any article or conversation, pardon me, mentioning Tom Brady, you automatically get their attention. Tom Brady leading the game-winning drive in the Super Bowl. Please continue, Judd, because this is an excellent report, as most of them are, you know.
Yeah, I tried to, you know, in the beginning, I tried to list, you know, these great competitors, you know, in our sports history. Michael Jordan, you know, Kirk Gibson's game-winning home run in the World Series, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Joe Montana. You know, you talk to all those guys, you know, you hear them in interviews. They just talk about the love of competition. They want the ball in their hands at the end of the game. They want to do it. You know, they love that level of competition. And then I tried to compare those players to people like Lance Armstrong and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, people who didn't necessarily want to compete, they chose to cheat. They took steroids, they took banned substances to give themselves an unfair advantage. And I compared those two types of players, you know, those who love to compete and those who need to cheat.
Let me point out real quick to the listener, when you talk about Lance Armstrong, 70 Tour de France wins, Barry Bonds, 762 home runs, Roger Clemens, 354 wins. I mean, boy, we're never going to beat that. Go ahead. But the thing is, they were kind of cheating. So please continue.
Yeah, I mean, you know, halfway through Barry Bonds' career and Roger Clemens' career, when their careers started to decline, they started using steroids and HGH mm-hmm. and all these other performance-enhancing drugs, and that propelled their careers to these unbelievable heights. They didn't want to compete like everybody else. They wanted to cheat. And then I compared it to what's going on in our politics, especially with our voting process. You know, the Democrats do not want to have fair and free elections. They want to be able to cheat. They want to have universal mail-in ballots. They want to have no voter ID and no signature match. They want to take down all types of protections against voter fraud, because in order for them to win, just like Bonds and Clemens and Lance Armstrong, they need to cheat. They can't win on their platforms. They can't win on their ideology. They have to win by cheating.
And let me tell you something, Judd, and I give you a lot of credit. Now, you're kind of like a Texas guy, all right? I mean, my goodness, you know, if you play for the Dallas Cowboys, they're considering you a Texan, even if you weren't born there. You know what you mean? I wasn't born there either, but I worked there a lot. But Texas is a different state. Some people don't realize it, but it's there's something about it, and pride may be right there at the very, very top. And what these guys have done, I'm sorry, these legislative people, there's men and women, but I don't know what they're calling each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On the plane, maybe they've already woke up, you know, during the flight. I don't know. But anyway, it's kind of serious, you know. And Texans, I think generally, no matter what political affiliation you're flying under, you're not too proud of these people that fled the state. And we're going to get into more of that with the one and only Judd Garrett. His website is Objectivity is the Objective. Got that? Objectivity is the Objective.com. Be right back.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining alfresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Judd Garrett, author of No Wind, contributor to Real Clear Politics, and we're looking at his latest, which you can read at objectivityistheobjective.com. And this one here, competing versus cheating. And, you know, they're so upset with these voter laws whenever, you know. And isn't it amazing, Judd, that what you have to show legal ID for? I mean, there's some things that, I mean, they don't want you to have to show it when you vote, all right? And then there's also this thing about how many hours you're open, you know, to allow voting. But the thing is that you got to show ID, you know, to go into a liquor store. And here's one, you got to show ID to check out a library book. But it seems to be racist when it comes to voting for some reason. Just doesn't seem to coordinate with me for some reason there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, if showing ID to vote is racist, then all these other industries, from the airline industry, from the alcohol industry, from hotel, rental cars, mm-hmm. they have to be racist as well because they're asking for ID. We flew to Minneapolis last weekend, and I was in the airport in Dallas, and there was a big sign saying starting in October there's going to be enhanced identification needed to fly. So not only do you need the you need this almost a specialized identification to fly. So is that even more racist? I don't know. But, you know, if you look at all the polling data, you know, over 70% of Americans want voter ID. The majority of Black Americans want voter ID. Black Americans are insulted that white people say, you know, you're not smart enough to get yourself an identification. That's an insult to a lot of black people. So, you know, just this argument in and of itself that voter ID is racist, you know, in itself.
I guess that's why they chartered a private plane. Maybe they didn't have to show any ID to get on that plane. I know they make a big deal about, you know, you got your booze on there with you, and you don't have to wear any mask like all the other airplanes do, you know, or main yeah. most of them.
But we, you know, when we flew with the Cowboys on private planes or on chartered planes, we had to show ID to get on. So I'm sure all those lawmakers had to show ID to get on that plane, and they're against voter ID.
What do you think's going to happen to the 51? You think they will be arrested if they decide to come back to Texas?
Well, that's what Governor Abbott has said, that he's going to arrest them. And you know how the Democrats play the game. They're going to, if they get arrested, they're going to, you know, put themselves out there as the victim and being harshly treated and all the, they're always going to play that propaganda game. But I don't know what's going to happen. I think Abbott said he's going to arrest them and he's going to continually call for the session. Until the vote ends up getting passed.
And I imagine these 51 Democrats, they will bring up the fact that somehow Russia is involved in all of this.
Yeah.
Going to have a special hearing, right? Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, racism and Russia are their two go-to lines whenever they're backed into a corner to get out of an argument.
You know, Judd, I've always, not always, but ever since I've been in talk radio, I guess, the way the Democrats act, okay, and especially Congress Democrat critters, I always get it in my mind that it's like a little kid in a high chair, you know, and he's got his spoon, and he's banging it because he's not getting his way, you know. I don't know if I saw that picture when I was a little kid or if I saw it when I was an older kid. But that's the way it is, you know, banging on your high chairs. That's the way they get your attention, and they have no idea what in the world they're really trying to achieve. You know, is it better food, more food, free food, food you can have and you don't have to acknowledge that you have a mother or father, free food you don't have to show an ID to get? What is it in the high chair that they're demanding? And it always seems that it fits the picture. It's like these little kids running off because they can't get their way on the vote. You know, you're there to vote. And I guess they did some kind of vote the day before yesterday, I think, or yesterday, without the Democrats there, just to do it, to have it on record or something.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the way the Democrats operate. I mean, you described mm-hmm. it perfectly. They have to get their way always. They don't want to use the normal process. You know, when the normal process is work for them, and you know they're going to win their get their way with the normal process, they're going to do it. But when they can't get it through the normal process, like you said, they'll bang the table, they'll charge racism, they'll make all these accusations just so they can get their way, and they're always putting party, they're always putting, you know, their own politics above the country, and it's really destructive to our country.
You know, and it's the same way whenever all the statues are coming down, you know, and how they're destroying America's history. And it's always that, you know, people have said, hey, if the Democrats are so worried about the reputation, you know, and trying to get rid of the old past, you know, and slavery and all this stuff, they should get rid of the Democratic Party. You know, they're the ones that started the KKK, and the Civil War basically was the Republicans versus the Democrats. Because the Democrats wanted slavery. But, you know, I mean, these kids in school, you know, their minds have been warped. They have no idea what in the heck they're doing, you know. They'd tear down their grandfather's statue, I guess, if they said he voted on the wrong team or something like that, you know. It's
yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, the history of the Democratic Party is one of sheer unadulterated racism. And yeah, if you're going to purge America from its racist past, you got to mm-hmm. purge the Democratic Party. And you're absolutely right. you know, the indoctrination of our kids in our school system is going to be really destructive to our country. And speaking of tearing down statues, I mean, they're tearing down statues of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, but in Newark, New Jersey, they just erected a statue of George Floyd. I mean, you know, I feel bad for George Floyd that he was killed and all that, but I mean, he was a criminal. I mean, he spent time in jail for armed robbery and doing a lot of bad things.
And I'll tell you what, that little lady that he held hostage and then brought his friends into her house, you know, if she hadn't complied, she'd be dead right now. This guy was, like you say, he was a hoodlum. And if that's what you have to have as somebody you're going to honor, you know, and then what was it Nancy Pelosi said? Anytime you look at Floyd, George Floyd's statue, you see the real reason for freedom or whatever. She was so out on that. I said, my goodness. And come on, you know, you have enough great black people that could be your number one leader, okay, if you want to put a statue up. But Floyd, I don't know. That's kind of like showing defeat, I think.
Well, it just shows you how warped they are, how warped their mentality is. It's totally a victim mentality, and George Floyd is presented as the victim of the incident that happened last June. And, you know, if you can, you know, posture yourself as the victim, then you get elevated in the eyes of the Democrats.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, in the closing of this, listener, of this excellent article about competing versus cheating, you bring up, you know, Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire cheated, and look at the numbers. And the one I wanted to get to was, Joe Biden, kind of interesting here, right? He received 11 million more votes than the popular Barack Obama in his election. And wasn't Barack running against Hillary? I mean, it's...
That's the point. I mean, you know,
most in history. Yeah,
you kind of knew something was going on with Bonds and McGuire because they're not just breaking the records; they were obliterating the record by almost 10, 12 more home runs. And then here's Joe Biden. We're supposed to believe that Joe Biden got 11 million more votes than Barack Obama. I'm not a big fan of Obama, but I'm not going to deny the fact that he was a widely popular person, and he got a lot of votes. And Biden, who hid in his basement for most of the campaign, got 11 million more votes than Obama. That doesn't make sense. I mean, it only leads to red flags that are telling you something nefarious is going on.
And we know social media played a big part because, you know, we're not saying nothing about your son, about Biden's son. Nope. Nothing happened. We're not going to do any of that. We're not going to investigate that. And pro quo quid, no, Biden wasn't even close to that whenever he was threatening those people over there. And Trump said nothing on the phone call. The double standard. I left your thing here and I wanted to say, yeah, there's what's going on in Cuba right now, quickly. You're talking about, you know, this Marxist agenda that's being spread in the United States. And Judd says, you know, that if you're not careful, 50 years from now, Americans will be just like the Cubans are today, risking their lives, protesting in the streets for our basic freedom and human rights. It's taken a long time for the Cubans to rise up, but I think it wouldn't take that long for Americans to rise up. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, they're trying to put that neo-Marxist ideology into America. You know, AOC, Elizabeth Warren, you know, Bernie Sanders, and if it takes hold, we're going to be like Cuba, oppressed with no human rights. And I'm with you. We're a country that's gonna stand up and fight for our rights, but it could get ugly for a while, though.
Another interesting thing, we probably could have spent the whole hour on the next one, and we've got 5 minutes for the break, but killing mockingbirds. Remember when they said, "Up, got to get rid of that novel. You can't. That's another one of those no-no novels. No, you know, another thing where they're twisting your brain in the other direction." And you have an excellent report on this. And I got to tell you, because we're not going to do it justice, I'm not going to do it justice because I don't have, you know, an hour and a half to talk about it. But you've got to go to objectivityistheobjective.com and check this out, Killing Mockingbirds. Because if you think you know all about the movie and the book, maybe you don't. You know, there's some very good information in here. Go ahead. I got you 4 minutes here to let you rock and roll there, Judd.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a school board in Scotland that's going to they're decolonizing their curriculum, so they're going to take down To Kill a Mockingbird because it has a white savior narrative, and this has been done in school boards across the United States. Right. And to me, it's the complete opposite thing that you should do. If you really know the book, if you've really read the book and studied the book, which, you know, I've read it a number of times, I've seen the movie. The messages that are in the book are needed now more than ever. It's all about treating people as people. It's all about a colorblind society. It's all about, you know, looking at the other person's point of view, their perspective. Those are all the lessons. Those are all the messages. It's not just a novel about, you know, a racist incident in the South. It's a novel about all of our prejudices that we have, not just maybe against people of another race, but someone who looks a little bit different than us or doesn't quite understand our culture or whatever. It touches on all of that, and it's a really eye-opening novel that if everybody was able to read it, understand it, and embrace those lessons, our country, our world would be in a much better place.
And I guess one of the big complaints, let's see if I find it here, it's the fact that based on skin color of the teacher is making it racist, hypocritical, because the very reason the novel that teaches a lesson like that being barred because the woke school boards are barring it have not learned the lesson. They don't like it because it's a white man teacher, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Atticus Finch, you know, one of the main characters is a white man, and he teaches lessons to his two kids, and you know, it's the lessons of we got to see things from other people's point of view and understand other people's humanity and things like that. And they're great lessons, but we can't have a white man teaching those lessons. You know, he's the white savior, and we can't have that. And it's so racist on its core to take that point of view to say we can't teach these lessons because a white man is teaching the lessons, even though the lessons are, you know, universally, you know, accepted as being true.
You know, the Reverend Michael Massey, who I have on his show quite frequently, black man, okay, and he wrote the book called Blacks Are Victims Because They're Told They Are. And, you know, it kind of sticks on that. If anyone else starts telling you, you know, that you're a victim, you know, if you're white and you're telling a black person that you're a victim, you don't qualify maybe for 70% of them. You don't know what I've gone through, so to speak, you know. But you're trying to say, hey, you know, they're going to say, look, we'll give you this, we'll give you this, we'll give you this, we'll give you this. And he's referred to it as keeping them on the plantation. You know, it's not really a plantation, but it's a government handout, you know, and it's like you can't do without us. Amazing. We're going to come back and close this up with the one and only Judd Garrett. By the way, one of those 1993 Super Bowl championship Dallas Cowboys, that's right. And now he's a fantastic writer, father of six, et cetera, et cetera. And No Wind, that's No, W-I-N-D, No Wind, that's his novel. And we'll tell you where you can get a copy of that, too. I'm pretty sure it's Amazon.com. But Judd will have the final word when we return.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Davi fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. And objectivity is theobjective.com. And what was I going to? Oh, yes. Where can I get the book, No Wind? Amazon.com, the best place, or what?
Yeah, go to Amazon.com. Just type in No Wind, Judd Garrett. It'll pop right up. You can get a regular, you know, book copy, or you can get it on Kindle. It's right there for you. It's pretty easy. Be delivered within a few days.
Fantastic. You know, you mentioned in this article, To Kill a Mockingbird, you know, and all of this attack on it's not new. Racial segregation has called for the book to be banned. 1966, during the aftermath of the passing of the 1964 Civil Rights Legislation. And, you know, when I read that, and then the main message, listener, of this whole thing, a lot of people have watched the movie, and some people say, well, I didn't totally understand. I've heard people actually say that. I didn't quite understand, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird. And I'm going to tell you, Judd, boy, you hit it right on the nail whenever you come across and say, here's what you got to get out of the movie. Here's what it's all about. And let's see, I guess it's probably about four paragraphs before the end of your report you did. But it says, if you believe something different than the mob or have a different perspective, you're labeled as evil and canceled. And the message of To Kill a Mockingbird is needed more than ever. It is as necessary today as it was at any other time to see life from another point of view, to climb in their skin and walk around. We have become a society completely lacking in the ability to understand anything beyond ourselves. I think this is one of the best you've done. Now, I really thought, you know, the one about competing and cheating, and then, you know, all of a sudden I ran across this one, and I said, my goodness. And the other thing is about not giving the air gun to air rifle. In the movie where the kids wanted an air rifle.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the message of the whole To Kill a Mockingbird. You know, Atticus tells his kids, you know, you can shoot cans and all that stuff, and you're going to want to shoot birds. And he said, just remember, it's a sin to kill a mockingbird. And then, you know, the lady across the street explains why it is, because mockingbirds don't do anything bad except, you know, bring music for us to enjoy. And that's why it's a sin to kill a mockingbird. And this book, in my estimation, has done nothing but do good things for our society. You know, they're great, you know, childhood stories, but there's also tremendous lessons to be learned. And, you know, as I said at the end, it would be a sin to kill the book To Kill a Mockingbird. That's ultimately the message of it all.
Sometimes you wonder, are these little messages coming from the higher up? You know, is God involved in all of this? You know, it kind of makes you wonder.
I think God touches a lot of people in a lot of different ways and opens our eyes, you know, to the important lessons of life.
I'll give you a good one. You know, God put the possum, all right, on earth to eat all the garbage. They don't attack dogs, cats. They don't eat up your garden, just like a mockingbird. They don't sing, but it's funny how some people, boy, they just think they're the most evil thing crawling around, possums. and then they play like they're dead. Very smart. Yeah. I feel like doing that myself sometimes. Hey, Judd, certainly appreciate it, and I'll probably be trying to get you back next week, all right?
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Put a check mark in your book there. Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. Objectivity is the objective.com. Fantastic. Well, the one and only Selwyn Duke is coming up. He writes for the New American, and you know he's always got some goodies and might touch a few nerves. So stay in there. We'll be right back. Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Let me tell you about my world-famous guest, but he still comes on this show, the Mr. Selwyn Duke. He's writer for the New American. He's also contributed to college textbooks published by Gales Jennings Learning and appears on many television and a frequent guest on radio shows. That's right. His website is SelwynDuke.com. That's SelwynDuke.com. And now, here's the Duke. We could listen to the whole song sometime, just in case Selwyn's late, you know. Right, Jeremy? Just say, he's not here yet. He's not here, and you'd hear him in the background. I'm here. Let me in.
I'm here. Let me in.
I got to tell you a story sometime. Well, I'll tell you right now. You know, when we used to broadcast from the Arco Towers, right, the George Putnam Show, and it was Arco Towers downtown in the Arco building and underground big shopping center there and all that stuff, right? So I think it was Paul Wallach was a host or something. He'd had a guest that got there late, right? And so you had the glass windows where you could see the people, but the door was locked, you know, because you always had to be very careful just in case of terrorists. And anyway, and here comes this little man, and he comes up to the glass. He comes to the door, and they won't open it. And he wouldn't say anything on the two-way. So then he's over there, and he gets on the glass, and he's got his pencil out, and he's banging on the glass, and you can actually hear him on the air. I'm here. Let me in. I'm the guest. it was so funny. So you do that, Selwyn, in case one of our engineers don't put you on or something, okay?
So a little man, it wasn't Robert Reich, was it, or Greg Gutfeld?
No, it was a guy with a rash, I think.
Yeah. How are you, Chuck? I'm doing okay. I'm just sitting here. I've got my air conditioning on full blast on this hot 91-degree day. Just feel the cool air. I'm not worried about my carbon footprint at all. In fact, you know what? You know where I want to put that carbon footprint, Chuck?
Yes,
I see AOC. I'm going to put it right on her backside, that carbon footprint. That's where I'm going to put it.
You'll say, send that to Cuba. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
You could sneak that across the border, if you kicked your AOC in the rear end, right? She'd go through
absolutely.
All the checkpoints. Nothing here. The guy has three arms, and that third arm is, ooh, it's ugly, and it talks back to you. I don't know.
Well, Ralph Cramden used to say, to the moon, Alice. We'll say to Cuba, AOC. That's where she's got to go.
While we're on that subject of Ralph Cramden and the honeymooners, when I watch that, I make comments about, to the moon one of these days, Alice. Wow. And he comes pretty close sometimes to actually clobbering her in the jaw or something, And I wonder if during all those years, if he actually hit her accidentally or maybe on purpose. That'd be a good trivia question,
Well, except that was all done live, so you see they couldn't have second takes. So everything you saw is what happened, and that's why that was real acting, Chuck, because they didn't have those second chances. And you could see where they made mistakes sometimes, but they covered for them very well, right?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What did you say? Take two on this. Yeah. See, and
why
I have
listen
the same
to
problem.
Me? I don't this... see you. Why listen to me? I barely listen to myself. That's why I don't know what I'm saying.
Hey, and you know what? And this show's live, see? And then it's repeated, like 12 times or something like that. I don't know. It's quite free. It's quite a bit. And I think it's done in another language somewhere. Or maybe that's just coming out of the owner's office. Yeah, that's another language. Anyway.
Just don't let
again.
Google translate it, okay?
Yes. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm sure that right now we've said nothing that has upset Google, right, or upset Facebook. So looks like we might be safe. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can do something. Oh, that Biden, he's really terrible. What? Biden is really, really terrible. Okay, so now we're off Facebook. You can't hear us on Google. Shocking. Censorship, right? Coming from the White House telling Facebook what to do. And now, are you ready for this? I've always said this, listener, and Selwyn will tell you right off, I always say, don't Google to try to find out something. Go to duckduckgo.com. And now you're going to just prove it again, Selwyn, that Chuck was right. Censorship is now affecting Google as it translates. It whitewashes Islam. Woo. Tell me it's not so, because, I Google so much stuff about, what's going on in Islam. And
Well, Chuck, it's very interesting because on a serious note, most of your audience probably knows about all of the big tech censorship. Excuse me. Drank a little water down the wrong pipe there. Big tech censorship.
I told you to stop smoking.
That's right.
Go ahead.
And drinking and all those bad habits. But we know that Trump was banned from all sorts of social media platforms, and before him, Milo Yiannopoulos, who's a real bomb thrower, and Alex Jones, and many other people. And by the way, yours truly, I am still suspended by Twitter. It's more than 4 months now. But anyway, many, many people. But this is a type of censorship that I didn't foresee, and it's very interesting, and I'm assuming it is censorship. But anyway, it has to do with Google Translate. Now, if you're in my business, sometimes you're looking at foreign news sources, and you'll have them translated. So I'm sure I've used Google Translate. And I never thought to question the translation, but here's a very interesting allegation that Google Translate is actually engaging in censorship. And here's the story here. It has to do with this Arabic fluent writer named Raymond Ibrahim. I don't know if you've seen him around, but I've long seen him on
the
internet.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I'm acquainted with his work. He devotes himself to exposing Muslim jihadist aims. He's an Arab himself. Well, anyway, what happened was he was writing about this Al Jazeera article that was written by a Palestinian professor. And it was written in Arabic. And again, he can read Arabic, so he was translating parts of it. And the article is about how Palestinians find inspiration in the jihads of history. That's how Ibrahim explains it. Now, like I said, it was written by that professor, and Ibrahim was quoting that professor as saying, quote, prominent among, unquote, the jihads is, quote, the raid of Badr, the opening of Mecca, the opening of Al-Andalus, and the Battle of the Pavement of Martyrs, which is apparently what they call the Battle of Tur, unquote. Now, that should be a simple translation for an Arabic speaker, but maybe not for Google, because in Google's translation, the Battle of Tur, raids, and past conquests aren't mentioned at all. Not there at all. Poof, gone. Okay, well, anyway, Ibrahim wouldn't have known about this. No one would have, were it not for a liberal critic. Ibrahim's article ran, among other places, at Front Page magazine, and he was contacted by some readers who were concerned that he had mistranslated the professor. And they were concerned because this liberal posted this post in which he said, I ran the Arabic passage through Google Translate, and it doesn't say anything like what you portrayed it as saying. And here's what the guy wrote, if you want to hear it, because it's a little snarky. This liberal critic, Dan Foster, was the name he was going by. Quote, an honest reader would be forgiven if they thought Ibrahim were actually talking about the Al Jazeera at the beginning of this piece. He's not, of course. He seems to have forgotten that while Google Translate isn't 100% reliable, it A, exists, and B, translates web pages. So I was actually able to read the article he linked. It doesn't reference the Battle of Tur or raids and conquests of the past. The title gives you a clue what it is actually about. Quote, this is how the Palestinian resistance made Ramadan a season of operations and victories. The bulk of the article is about different attacks carried about over the course of 20-odd years. So to all FPMers, that means people who read Front Page magazine, how does it feel to be lied to yet again? Well, anyway, Ibrahim was befuddled by this, so he put the Arabic passage into Google Translate himself. And lo and behold, Chuck, he found out that this liberal critic was right. That's what Google said. So then Ibrahim went back to the original Al Jazeera article in Arabic, and he looked at the sentence as he had translated it, and it was still there. Now, Chuck, I actually have the Arabic passage in my article. Now, you may not know this about me, but actually, I can speak French, German, Spanish, Russian, Japanese, Tagalog, Korean, or I know those French, Russian, German, Tagalog, Korean, and 11 other names of languages.
Well, hang on.
Sorry,
Mr.
I messed up
Duke.
That joke.
Yeah, I got to tell you something, Mr. Duke. All right. Yeah. See, I, other than Indians, you know, like American Indians,
yeah.
I can do every single language. I can give you a sentence in every single language except French. French is the only one. So you just test me out. Go ahead.
Okay, Russian.
That's French to me.
Yeah,
I think yours was
but
along
here I was
the same
say.
Lines. Normally I would do a Russian one, Yender Yerf. I came up with that there because that's a name that I used to know, Rodney Fry, spelled backwards. Yender Yerf. Mm. That sounds Russian, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, your joke came off just fine. Unfortunately, I messed mine up. But anyway, so I've got the Arabic in my article, but I can't read Arabic. I know you can, Chuck, so you can read the Arabic. Go ahead.
All right. Here's what I had translated, okay, if you're ready for this. I put this in for Google, okay? And I said, let me see. Hunter Biden is a drug addict. I put that in Google. Let me push the button. Here's the translation. Hunter Biden is an excellent painter.
And a man of sterling moral character, right?
Yes, yes.
But anyway, Anyway, joking aside, let's get back because this is a serious matter.
This is serious, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I have the Arabic passage in my article. Yeah, for anyone who speaks Arabic. But there are still people who might want to believe Google. They might say, Chuck, well, this is a he said, she said kind of situation. Mm-hmm. How do you know who to believe, Ibrahim or Google? Well, I have no reason to doubt Ibrahim. But when I was almost done with this article, I had an idea. I said to myself, wait a second. There are alternative automated translation services out there. So let me put the passage into Google Translate and then into one of those other services and contrast and compare. So I put it into Google Translate, and I got exactly what that liberal critic said. It was a relatively short translation, didn't say anything about the raids or those battles. Then I put the same Arabic passage, Chuck, into Microsoft Bing's translation service. And guess what? I'm not going to read the whole thing because it comes out with odd grammar when you use these services, but right. It mentions all the things that Ibrahim said were in that passage. The invasion of Badr, the conquest of Mecca, of Andalusia, Battle of Tours, all those things are there. In fact, Google's translation was more than 50%, 44 words lighter than Microsoft. So, as I said in my article, busted. Yeah. Now, this is really something, and it's really insidious, Chuck, because if you're using an automated translation service, it means that you don't understand the language that you want translated, so you have no way of knowing if the translation is
Absolutely.
Correct or not.
Yeah.
That's like the whole
thing.
Like
when you're talking to a Democrat, yes, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, listen, I'm going to let you finish this because we're coming on that break, and I want to hear the rest of it. Real quick, that 7 best Google Translate alternatives for 2021, is that a link they can go to that's in this?
That's an article. Absolutely.
Okay, so we'll mention that again whenever we get through with this article. But if you're in the trouble there, of course, Selwyn has the answer. But he's going to be back. More on this. Selwyn Duke. And it's Selwyn Duke. com.
Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
Director Steven Soderbergh assembles a great ensemble cast for a moody thriller about petty crooks in 1954 Detroit who get drawn into a series of world-changing mysteries in No Sudden Move. Now playing in theaters and streaming on HBO Max.
The problem is you're not smart enough to know how not smart you are.
Why are you doing this, man?
Because I'm going to get what's mine.
That's Don Cheadle, who along with Benicio del Toro is at the center of the action, along with the likes of Ray Liotta, Matt Damon, and John Hamm. The plot, which features some conspiratorial maneuvers in the auto industry, is intricate and intriguing. But the real power of this picture comes from the characterizations, which are consistently convincing and complex. It's rated R for rough language, some sex references, and disturbing violence that's plausible, but never over the top. 3 stars for No Sudden Move, a supremely skillful piece of work that leaves you wondering about the deeper dimensions of what you've just seen.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, and we're talking about shocking censorship now also infects Google Translate as it whitewashes Islam. Go ahead and continue, Selwyn.
Yeah. So anyway, Ibrahim, the writer I was talking about who picked up on this type of censorship, he writes about it, quote, "Now, I don't know if Google Translate omitted that damning reference because it obviously provokes the question I raised. Why are oppressed Palestinians inspired by the land-grabbing oppressors of history, before or after I cast the spotlight on it in my article? Either way, now you can add Google Translate to all of the other nefarious ways that Google and other big tech giants censor and manipulate information," unquote. Now, here's the thing, Chuck. This is no small matter because obviously if Google Translate was censoring here, it would just be the tip of the iceberg. It would be one of innumerable other examples. So we have to ask ourselves, well, what else are they deceiving people about? And again, you wouldn't know because you're using Google Translate because you don't know the language that's being translated here. And how many other liberals or other people, moderates, conservatives, whatever, are going to be deceived by this service, either because they're just naive or because it confirms their beliefs, confirmation bias. Now, here's the whole thing. Understand that Google Translate could be the world's most widely used automated translation service. I have some figures here. It supports 109 languages. That's of this month, by the way. And it boasts more than 500 million users, or it did in 2016, and 100 billion words translated. Again, 2016, so those numbers are probably far higher now. So what do you do? Well, the good news here is, and I learned something too, is that you have many other automated translation services. We mentioned this article before the break. It's titled Seven Best Google Translate Alternatives for 2021. I didn't know about this article before, but I link up to it in my piece. And not only that, this is something now I'm going to practice because, like I said, sometimes I'll translate something using an automated service. What I think you should do now when you do that is cross-reference it with another automated translation service and then compare the two, especially when you're dealing with, Chuck, politically sensitive content, because that's when censorship is likely to come into play. And then if you do that, maybe you can be sure that the translation is correct. But anyway, I'll just wrap this up by saying that everything I've just said during this segment, well, there's a simple translation for it. It's this: dump Google. It stinks.
You know, do you recall that whenever Trump and Hillary were running, and I kept complaining about, every time I go to Google to try to find out something about Donald Trump, when it goes there, it would pop up, and you'd automatically, here's where you can contribute to Hillary Clinton's campaign. And I was thinking, well, is she buying, are they buying this time? And I don't think they were. And then other people say, oh, you asked for one word, and they'd lead you in another. And I'm not sure, Selwyn, but you might have been the person that first told me about DuckDuckGo. Do you use them? And if you don't, I'll know you weren't the first one to tell me.
Yeah. No, I might have told you about that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, and it's very good. I'm very happy with it. But I'm definitely going to check out the translation. You know, I don't really have to go in too much and translate an article, because I don't get to that point. I have the guests that, do all that work. But what I do have to do is the pronunciation, And it's even strange how sometimes the thing I have, you can select the person for the voice that you want to give you the way it should be pronounced. And I've noticed a couple of times where, you know, the guy's doing it differently than the girl's doing it. And I'm going, what in the world? Seems like it'd all be on one link or something. I don't know, but wow.
Yeah.
But I do like the closing there. You know, if you simple translation, just dump Google, you know. And let me ask you real quick, Google Chrome, okay? I find out now that some of the emails won't even open up unless you have the Chrome. And is that part of Google's company?
Yeah, well, Google Chrome is. That's their browser. And, you know, the whole thing is that this is so nefarious. We don't really know how far the manipulation goes. But I've said this before. I've seen how Google censors my own articles. Sometimes when I'm writing a piece, Chuck, I'll look for my older articles because I want to link up to them. How do I do it? I do it the way you would. I put relevant search terms into Google or some other search engine, except I know exactly what terms to enter because I wrote the darn articles. Well, I would do this. I'll finish that after the break.
Yeah, you called it a darn article. We'll get back to the darn articles here in a minute. Well, we got a few good ones, too. Let me tell you, we might get to the monkey. Oh, I hope so. Anyway, Selwyn Duke's going to be right back. Remember, it's SELWYNDuke.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Davi fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Restaurante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Restaurante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. Strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
We have the Duke. Rumors that he's no longer around do not pan out. Selwyn Duke is here. All right. You're going to be signing autographs one of these days. And then
well, I'm very astute, Chuck. Yeah, I'm very astute, Chuck, so I figured out that that was my cue.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay. Now, you wanted to mention some more here real quick on Google, I think, a couple of other little shorties. Was that what it was?
Yeah, I'll make it quick. Anyway, okay. Sometimes I've got to find my own articles. I do that the way anyone else would usually. I put relevant search terms into a search engine. I know what to enter because I wrote the articles. Well, I would do this with Google years ago, and my article would be nowhere to be found. And I'd say to myself, well, how could that be? Because after all, these are the correct search terms. I know for a fact that they're in the article I wrote. So I would take the same terms, copy them, paste them into DuckDuckGo, and guess what happened? My article would be the very first result. Then one time when this happened, a reader contacted me, and he said he had the same exact experience, believe it or not.
Wow.
He even put the terms into DuckDuckGo, exact same thing happened to him. Now, understand, it's not just me. This is happening to thousands upon thousands of conservative individuals and entities. And what's going on here is really, really nefarious, because if they bury your result, your article, or whatever it is, beyond the third page on Google, no one's going to see it, because most search engine users, statistically, Chuck, don't go beyond the first or second page. Hardly anyone goes beyond the third page. So what they're doing is, with a wink and a nod, they're basically completely censoring you, because they're sending you to Internet Siberia. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And this is how big tech manipulates public opinion and thereby elections. I'll close with this. I've cited this before. Robert Epstein, a liberal psychologist, has studied this issue in depth, and he said that he determined that big tech has the capacity now to shift up to 15 million votes during an election. If that's true, that's enough to turn an election either way and choose our next president, because most elections now, national ones, turn on far fewer than 15 million votes.
Yeah,
think about
that. No matter
that.
If you're in a basement or not, you know. You'll get the most votes of any president in the history of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just waiting for him to walk on water. You know what what they can do, though? See, they can actually say, well, listen, Mr. Duke, we did. We printed your article. No, I didn't find it. It was on the 10th page, page 10. I remember that a long time ago, just searching for some news items, you know. And here it is, page 3 or 4, but definitely not on the front. Let me tell you, I'll ask you this, your opinion on this, all right? So we know the White House is now directly telling Facebook, we're going to tell you what we don't want you to talk about. You know, I mean, that's just like, we are now in control of you because we've got to make sure the white supremacists don't attack somebody's house that happens to be a Democrat or whatever. And now you would figure that probably Google, the way things are happening, or maybe they've been doing it all along, you know?
I mean, look, what we're seeing here is an end run around the First Amendment. I've said that. And what Jen Psaki said the other day, or was it yesterday, that they're directly now talking to these big tech entities, I mean, that's unbelievable. There should be a lawsuit centered around this. How could you possibly do that? That's the government censoring private discourse, really just using big tech as an arm, but they're joined at the hip. It's disgusting.
Probably falls just before the First Amendment. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, and you know, we're getting into this shocking, well, we already did that one, but where's that other one at? Yeah, okay, got it. There's only one thing that can stave off socialism, morality, and then you've got another one, library apologists for hiring this rainbow dildo butt monkey for children's event. But what's next? Wow. Hmm. Which one do you want to do to make sure we get it in, you know, because...
Okay, well, why don't we do the one about socialism, because that's the more important issue and really a timeless issue almost.
Absolutely.
You know? So anyway,
Cuba,
well...
That's for sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. The story here is, I start out quoting philosopher George Hegel. He said, the only thing that we learn from history is that we learn nothing from history. And this comes to mind, Chuck, because if you look at polls, you see that young people cotton to socialism much more than their elders do. And also, they're becoming very disenchanted with so-called capitalism. And this is a trend that really may augur, as I put it, a dystopian socialist future for our country unless we can somehow, we people who advocate economic freedom, go beyond these materialist appeals and make a moral case for our beliefs. And I cite this writer at the National Review, Samuel Gregg, who is writing about this. But anyway, he cites this poll by Axios Momentum that shows that slightly fewer Americans view capitalism positively today, Chuck, than did 2 years ago. And the positive negative number has changed from 61%, 36% in 2019 to 57%, 36% now. However, what's really driving this change are the young adults' perception of so-called capitalism. And I say so-called capitalism because we should use the term economic freedom, but I'll get into that. So anyway, if you dig down into this, I mean, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, this is SurveyMonkey.com reporting on the poll, quote, today, 18 to 34-year-olds are almost evenly split between those who view capitalism positively and those who view it negatively, 49% versus 46%. 2 years ago, that margin was a gaping 20 points, 58% versus 38%. By contrast, views among adults ages 35 and older haven't budged, with wide margins of 35 to 64-year-olds and 65-plus saying they view capitalism in a positive light. So if you're talking about the people who are 18 to 24 now, Generation Z, Chuck, it says here, quote, perceptions of capitalism are truly underwater. 42% have a positive view and 54% have a negative view. And this is even true among Republican youth. Okay, they're starting to view what we call capitalism in a negative light. Okay, now I point out in my article something that no one else does. Part of this is driven by immigration-fired demographic change, Chuck. And what I mean is that we have an ever higher percentage of our population that's come from countries where socialism is highly accepted, such as south of the border countries. So that's going to make a big difference right there. That said, it doesn't just have to do with immigration. It also has to do with moral corruption. It has to do with brainwashing via academia, the media, and entertainment. Very, very significant, that factor. But here's the whole thing. First, I will say to people, we have to dispense with the term capitalism. Part of the problem here, not all of it, is branding. Now, what's his name, that fellow who would study words that work? I mean, I know he's a bit of a neocon. Well, Lund is his last name. Well, anyway, he pointed out years ago that the word capitalism does not poll well. You should use the term economic freedom. Now, when I talked about this years ago, I got tremendous pushback from conservatives, Chuck. That's how married they were to the word. But here's what they don't understand. The word capitalism was originated by socialists. And why do you think they did that? Did they do that to flatter the system? No, they did it because they wanted to demonize the system.
One little comment here, all right?
Yeah.
You look at socialists, right? And you think you're going to a society meeting or a social gathering, right? Social gathering. Capitalism almost sounds like you've done something and they've locked you up. You know what I mean? That's how you talk about how words, you've got the wrong word there. You should have come up with, everybody's wonderful or whatever.
Yeah.
But you hit it right on the nail there. Definitely the wrong word. It just sounds like it's waiting to get the wrong definition.
Yeah, it just has such a rapacious connotation, especially today. And as I said, it was originated by socialists. Why would we be taking a leaf out of their book? It doesn't make any sense. And this is just this pattern that you see over and over again. These leftists originate these terms, whether it's transgender or underprivileged, when you mean to say poor, or whatever else it is. And then conservatives just parrot these things because they're embraced by academia, they're disseminated by the media, you see them in entertainment, so they become normalized and part of the culture. But it's a big mistake. And I can tell you that if we would replace in these surveys of young people and other people capitalism with economic freedom, the poll results would be different, absolutely, positively. But that said, Chuck, this is not just a matter of branding, okay? And that writer I cited earlier, Greg, points this out. You know, he says that young people believe that, quote, the economy is rigged in favor of the privileged and well-connected. Okay, and they're right about that, by the way. I mean, we see it all the time. But as he correctly points out, they don't understand that this is not a function of economic freedom. This is a function of cronyism. And as government grows, cronyism tends to increase. For instance, you look at North Korea. There you have a true Marxist system, right? Well, don't you think things there are rigged in favor of the privileged and well-connected? If you're Kim Jong-un and his inner circle, well, you have all the luxuries you want. Look at how fat that guy is, Kim Jong-un. He has luxuries from all over the world. The foods that he wants, the liquors, the alcohol that he wants, everything his little heart desires, his dark little heart. But the rest of the people, most of them are suffering privation. So that's one thing that has to be taught, that as you grow government, cronyism tends to increase, and then you have still a privileged class at the top, but it's impossible to break into, because when you have economic freedom, you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps if you're a spectacular person, if you can perform. But if you have a closed system like a Marxist one or any big government system, then people are rewarded not based on achievement, but based on political connections. More and more. But the other thing is, and Greg points this out, and I've made this point over the years, that you have to point out to people, he was focusing on young people, that socialism is completely contrary to human nature. It completely is. Okay? And the way he puts it is this. Okay, I would put it maybe a little bit differently. But he says, self-interest is not the same as greed, as Adam Smith pointed out. Quote, and showing that socialism could only work if governments were capable of knowing everything going on in the economy at any moment in time, all the time, will help to open these young people's eyes. Quote, but perhaps the most decisive argument for markets that resonated with the students that he dealt with was what I'll call a morally realist understanding of human nature. And he continues, quote, say, for example, you view humans as beings with reason and free will, who alone among all the Earth species possess the gift of creativity, who are simultaneously individual and social, who are driven to a considerable degree by self-interest, who are capable of moral greatness but also prone to error, and who can't know everything. If you believe these things, you will surely arrive at a very different economic conclusion than someone who doesn't, deep down, believe that humans are free, creative, capable of knowing and choosing the truth, but also self-interested and fallible. And he says this is the recipe for explaining to younger Americans why markets work and socialism fails. Socialism, he writes, is grounded upon a conception of human beings which is, in a word, false. And that's absolutely true. I mean, if you look at socialism, basically what it's saying is that you can remove economic incentive, but then somehow, some way, people are still going to be productive and industrious just in the name of some greater good for the good of the state. But it doesn't work that way. And, you know, this reminds me, Chuck, In the 1900s in our country, we already saw experiments relating to this. For instance, we had Christian communes, many of them, the Oneida colony. I mean, some of them you wouldn't even want to call Christian, some were the Shakers. They were communes in 19th century America, and some of them prospered for a long time, even lasting for about 100 years. Well, anyway, what happened was there was this socialist reformer named Robert Owen. Maybe he saw this and was inspired, who knows, but he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to start a socialist commune. And he did this. It was in Indiana, I believe. I think it was named New Harmony, the place. He began his commune, but guess what? You know how long it lasted? 2 years. 2 years. And the reason was it just attracted lazy people, feckless, irresponsible people, because it was just everyone gets the same thing, doesn't matter how hard he works. And you know what happens when you have that kind of a system, because you're ignoring the realities of human nature. And any system that ignores the realities of human nature is immoral and is doomed to fail.
Yeah, you know, when I hear all this, Selwyn, I of course, keep thinking of mainly, I guess, colleges, you know, and them spreading, you know, all of this. And you wonder, you know, how they drive it into the minds, you know. You look at all those signs that the kids were carrying, you know, during the riots. Socialism is the answer. Socialism is the answer, you know. And it's sort of like, don't worry, you know, we're all in the, you're all going to be in one boat, and we've got a couple of people that will be driving the boat. I mean, how in the world is it just something you keep droning into them, and eventually they start accepting it? Or do you think they have little catches, like free stuff, and you don't have to get this, and we're going to pay for your college education? When we come back from the break, I'd just like to get your opinion on that. It's how in the world, you know, is it so easy to put these young adults in a different boat, so to speak, in a boat that's, in my opinion, has got a couple of holes in it, you know, many holes in it. Selwyn Duke, the new American, all right, and his website, selwynduke.com. We're going to continue in just a moment.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet. Fresh asparagus. Hollandaise on the side. A filet. Medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair. Close your eyes and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, the new American, selwynduke.com, talking about socialism. So what is it? Is it like life's going to be easier because we're going to take care of you? Everything's going to be wonderful. Don't worry about it. You're all the same. How do they make them drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak?
Well, it's those appeals, Chuck, but you have to realize that vice is always a much, much easier sell than virtue. And that's why at the end of my article, I talk about the moral issue relevant here that the writer I cited earlier, Greg, does not address, and that's morality in the people. You know, I've often said this on your show, but as Edmund Burke, the Anglo-Irish philosopher, noted, it is ordained in the eternal constitution of things that men of intemperate minds cannot be free. Their passions forge their fetters. Now, how does that relate to this situation? Look, Chuck, we've all heard about those people, especially years ago, and they still exist, let's say in the hills of Kentucky or wherever they were, who were so proud that they wouldn't accept government aid, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the point is, maybe that's going overboard. You should be able to accept charity graciously. But the bottom line is this. If you have a relatively noble people, and it's always a matter of degree, who want to carry their own weight, you're going to be in a much different situation than if people descend into vice, into immorality, and become characteristically greedy and covetous and envious. When those faults, those sins, start to take over the hearts and minds and souls of the people, they become easy prey for demagogues, because then demagogues can effectively play the class warfare card, right? Oh, look at all the things, all the money these people have, Bill Gates, all these other people who are rich, Bezos, and we're going to get you your piece of the pie. You just have to vote for us. Appeals like that can work a lot more easily when you're dealing with a morally degraded people. So, yes, these appeals are always going to work to some extent because that's human nature. We're not angels, we human beings, but they work better than ever today because, unfortunately, we are experiencing this moral crisis. And you're cut me off if we're running short on time, Chuck, but I'll say something else. The writer I cited earlier, Greg, made the very valid point that you have to make a moral argument to young people because they want an economy that's just. People are moral beings. They want to hear a moral argument. Mm-hmm. I would point out that if you're advocating a system that creates less wealth, as socialism does, that is inherently immoral because wealth is not just money. It represents the ability to clothe and feed your family and put a roof over their heads and to provide medical care for them, to provide all the things that preserve life and make it worth living. And if you embrace a system that impoverishes people, you're hurting them. You're going to cause many of them to wallow in suffering, to suffer privation, to have to endure diseases they wouldn't have to otherwise, and there's nothing compassionate about that. So that is part of the moral argument. Yeah. Advocating socialism is a profoundly immoral act.
Boy, you know, raise the price that you get paid at a job, right? $9.1 trillion going out for COVID relief. You don't even have to go to work. You know, we'll give you the checks.
Yeah.
And where's it coming from? Yes.
Yeah,
Selwyn,
yeah.
Always a pleasure, sir. Really. Thank
Same
you very
here,
much.
Sir.
Yeah. Look.
God bless.
God bless. Look very, very excited for our next visit. There's a good word for it. Yes, Selwyn Duke, D-U-K-E, and it's Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. Hey, thank you very much, Jeremy. Thank you for listening. And above all, I want to say God bless the United States of America.